It's a new season.
Thank you for joining us for the Change Lives, Changing Lives radio broadcast, a ministry of New Day Christian Church. And remember, if you are ever in our area, please stop by. We'll make you feel right at home. Now, let's join Pastor George Logan for today's message.
Continue with that this morning. Last time I was here, we talked about faith, believing that we already have, believing that we have received. And where does that happen at? It happens within our hearts. Mark 11, 24, we're not going to turn there, but we will be back there eventually. But Mark 11, 24, and actually Mark 11 and portions of it, Jesus speaking to the fig tree, and he says, the disciples went out and they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and they said, when they came back the next day, they looked at that fig tree that Jesus had cursed, and they said, look, Master or Rabbi, the tree that you spoke to has dried up from the roots. And then Jesus makes this statement. He says, have faith in God. And what he was saying in that, he was saying, have the God kind of faith. He was telling his disciples, have this kind of faith. This is the kind of faith that I want you to have, is the God kind of faith. And the reason he can tell us as humans to have the God kind of faith is because we are in the God class, meaning that we're made in his image and in his likeness. Unlike animals, as far as we know, there's nowhere in Scripture that says they have a spirit. When they made animals, it did not say the animals were made in the image and the likeness of God. Thus, they do not have a spirit. God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when we are learning about him, we're learning about ourselves because we're made like him in that we are spirit as well. So however how he would function, that's the same way we also ought to see ourselves functioning. So when he spoke to the fig tree, he says, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. And this is the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith is, as a man believes in his heart and says it out of his mouth, he will have whatever he says. And it says, whatsoever he desires when he prays, believe down on his heart that he has it, and he shall have it. That's a description of how our faith should work. It should work by saying to the mountain, be thou removed, saying, speaking, confessing, and also it should work by us believing that we have received it and we shall have it. So those are things that happen down on the inside of us, in our hearts. But it's unfortunate that many times we don't really check down on the inside of us to find out what we really have or who we really are. And therefore we operate as mere humans, animals, as it were. You know, when you look in the Bible and you hear descriptions of the beast, and 666 was a letter of the beast, not only for that which is to come, but also that which was in the past. When they talk about ancient civilizations and they would describe it as 666, the number of man, meaning that man, when he is cut off from God, he acts like a beast. 666 is the number of the beast. When man is not under the government of God, when man is not thinking and in connection with God, when he is solely into this three-dimensional earth realm, he acts like a beast. He devours. He takes over. That's the way he functions. When he is functioning only within the three-dimensional earth realm, everything is about taking over. Everything is about getting, grabbing, overcoming others. But God didn't want us to do like that. So we're talking about today how to identify our heart, how to live out of our heart. How to live out of our hearts. So I want you to turn today to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I saw a commercial recently, as you're turning there. Romans chapter 10, we're going to start with verse 9. I saw a commercial, and I've not seen this one before, but I saw it a couple of times, and it, you know, I'm a slow learner. So when I see a commercial, I have to watch them several times to really get what they're trying to say. And so I was watching this commercial, and I watched it again, and I watched it, and I finally got it. Now, some of you might be a little swifter than I am. That's all right. I get there. Some people get there before me, but that's all right. So in this commercial, and maybe some of you all saw it, it was two older people who were sitting in their lawn, and they were discussing the fact that they had a home and they had assets, but they didn't have a flow of finances. They didn't have cash flow, but they did have they had assets. They just didn't have enough monthly income to come in to satisfy their need for cash. And so, like, they had a nice home, maybe it was a several hundred thousand dollar home, but, you know, it wasn't reeling off cash from it. And so up under the ground, there's some people working that are saying, "You're sitting on a gold mine." Anyone seen that? "You're sitting on a gold mine." They're like yelling at the top of their voice, "You're sitting on a gold mine." And so the commercial is you can sell your insurance policies for cash. So if you have a life insurance policy, you can sell it for cash. So if you've got a $100,000 policy, they may match it at $100,000, or maybe they'll give you, you know, $90,000 for your $100,000. And for people who are in need of cash. But the more I watched it, what really caught me was these two guys down there up under who were mining for gold, who were yelling at the top of their voice that, "You're sitting on a gold mine up under. You're sitting on a gold mine." And they never heard it. They just heard a little sound of it. And they said towards the end of the commercial, like, "What?" They said, "What is that?" "Oh, it's nothing." They said, "It's nothing. We hear a little something, but it's nothing." Well, I think that's how we are in regards to our heart. There's a gold mine on the inside of us. But it's unfortunate that we live more tending to the outside than we do the gold we have on the inside, the word that we have, the believe that you receive it on the inside, Jesus on the inside. And if you can hear the Spirit of God speaking, He's saying, "You're sitting on a gold mine. Out of your heart flows the issues of life. Protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it has everything you need will come right out of here." And we're trying to get it out here. We're judging everything about being out here. And He's saying, down on the inside of us, there is a gold mine. But we're spending way too much time looking at what we have on the outside as opposed to what God has given us, all things pertaining to life and godliness down here on the inside. So let's look at this for a minute, because I want us to discover our heart, where my heart is, because we got to learn how to live out of our heart. That's where the gold mine is. It's not out here. It's on the inside. You carry it with us every day. It's right in here. I just know, have to figure out how to get it out. Okay? Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So just stop right there and just look at this. Where's the gold mine at? It's in our hearts, right? But it does us no good until we acknowledge that it's there, and then what? Speak it out. Say it. Confess it. Say the same thing as what God is saying to us. So when the Holy Spirit is working down on the inside of us, He says He's dealing with our heart first. He's speaking to us down here. He's not dealing with our mind. He's dealing with our heart. And He says, He says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, and believe where? In your mind? No, in our hearts. He says, if we believe in our hearts, if we confess what we believe in our hearts, he says, then we shall be saved. And that's how it is for every single thing. Everything in our lives, if we believe it in our hearts and let release it from our mouth, we will have it. Our gold mine is right down here in our hearts. This is where it exists. Down here. And once we locate it, then we stop trying to outdo and overcome and beat up others and things so that we can get it. We just learn how to, I need to withdraw, I withdraw from here. I learn how to live out of here now. Learn how to live out of my heart. Listen, it says, verse 10, for with the what? Heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That goes back to Mark 11, 23 and 24. If we shall speak into the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt in our what? Heart, but believe that what we say with our mouths, we will have it shall come to pass. So the big thing is how do we get our heart to believe? We got to know that it's in our hearts. It's not from experience. It's not from facts. It's not from our mind. It's not mentally ascending to it. Like I do believe it. Like I kind of, you know. But how do I get this part, this biggest part, the core of my being, how do I get it to believe? It's made to believe. You got a gold mine. We got a gold mine. Listen to me. You got a gold mine down here. It's not on top of the earth. It's down here on the inside of us. So it says, for the heart one believes. For with the heart one believes. For with the heart one believes. Say that to your neighbor and punch them if they're trying to fall asleep on you. Say, with the heart one believes. All right, with the heart one believes. Now, how do we know that it's with the heart? How do we know that we're believing with the heart? Two things. You're always going to say, you will always, always say, when push comes to shove, when pressure's on, you'll always say what your heart believes. Always. If you have fear in your heart, and something comes after you, whatever you believe, whatever you're believing, it's going to come out. That's the Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart you speak. So I can always tell what my heart is believing when the pressure is on, what comes out. If you're faced with sickness and you believe you're about to die, then what will come out of your mouth are words of death. No matter what you believe up here, what you are saying up here, you'll always speak what you believe out of your heart. That's why some of you are, as they say, you're a dead giveaway. Because when you start talking, you start revealing what's in your heart. Okay, you say what you want to. Amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God. We just praise the Lord, we worship, and then boom! I'm like, oh yeah, I thought you was a believer. You're not believing. You're not believing. There's nothing wrong with that. We just have to make some adjustments. But it is an indicator of what I really believe. What I really, really on the inside of me believe is going to come out under pressure. All right, so let's listen to this. We're going to find out. So when we look at the heart is where I believe. Look at some scriptures here. So 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify or separate you completely or set you apart completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let your whole spirit, soul, and body. So that lets us know what? That we are a what? Tripartite being. We're made of three parts. And if we don't honor that and understand that, then we'll function out of one or two of those parts when we're really, really one part. I mean, a tripartite. So the real me, the real you, is a spirit who lives in a body, who possesses a soul, a mind, a will, an intellect. But the real you is a spirit. And that's why when God says we will worship, he says we'll worship how? We'll worship him how? In spirit. In other words, there is an existence about us that cannot be seen with the outward eye. It's on the inside. That's the part I want to make sure that I build up, that I keep up, that I am aware of, that I know that this is where my true existence is in this tripart, the third part or the first part, the second, whatever you call it, but I am a spirit being. And so I want to protect that. I want to realize it. That's who I am, and everything that comes in through here seeks down into here. And then once it seeks down into here, it comes back out of here. So environment is important. The reason some people can't believe, who are Christians, can't believe certain things about the Word of God, isn't they're not in an environment to hear it go in to affect their hearts and then come back out of their mouths. That's why terms like, I'm just a sinner, like it must be God's will for me to be broke, sick, unhealthy, all of those things, that came out of here. It came out of the Word of God. It came out of our traditions that has made the Word of God of none effect. Because if you go back and you look at Scripture, you can't find it there. So our heart can't believe it. Our heart is in jeopardy of being damaged simply because we're in an environment that is not conducive to a healthy heart. You know, if we take in the wrong kinds of food consistently over a long period of time, it's going to affect our physical heart, is it not? Yeah, it could affect our heart over periods of time. It could affect our heart from pumping the way it ought to pump. If we're in unbelieving environments, it's going to affect our core, our other heart. Not giving it the nutrients it needs to grow, to pulse, to move. So we're made of three parts, correct? Let's look at some other scriptures here. John chapter 3 and verse 1. John 3 and 1. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In other words, he can't perceive the kingdom of God. It's not talking about a future kingdom here. It's talking about the kingdom of God that is within. It says, and Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly or certainly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So everyone who is born of the Spirit." So where are we? Where is the new creation at? What is God telling Nicodemus here? A scholar, a teacher of the law. He's telling him that, hey, the real happenings are on the inside. The real you, the born again you, is down on the inside. You must be born again. Because when you are born again, guess what? I will come and live with you. I'll give you perceptions of the kingdom. The reason oftentimes our spirit doesn't have faith is because the faith giver is Jesus. And if we can't entertain Jesus on the inside of us, we can't entertain his words when we speak them. Understand what I'm saying here. This really tweaked my faith just recently. I was reading a devotional, and in the devotion it says, you can't have faith in Jesus' words if you don't have a closeness to the personage of Jesus. In other words, sometimes we're saying God's word, we're saying it, and because we've learned the laws of confession, we're saying the word of God, we're saying it, but we're detached from the one who's saying it. In other words, my faith begins in knowing and understanding the character of Jesus, who lives down on the inside of me, who's been given to me by the Holy Spirit. So now I'm beginning to be inside-minded about the Holy Spirit. I'm beginning to talk to Jesus on the inside of me. I'm beginning to commune with him, get to know him, speak to him, treat him like he's really there, and begin to know a little bit about what he has done for me. And now when he says something, I believe it by virtue of his character. So now his words are not just words. They're words that have character to it. Are y'all with me? How many of you have someone in your life that you believe? That you like, you believe. So when they say something, why do you believe what they say? From your heart, right? Your heart, their heart, you all are connected through the heart. And because of that connection, whatever they say, you believe it. And so many times the reason we are not moving forward in faith the way we ought to move forward in faith is because we really don't believe and have a personal relationship with Jesus. Yeah, we go through the motion. Yeah, we say the words. Yeah, we do those types of things. But we don't, we're not communing with him. So when we hear, you know, "By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed," or "You're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ," or any of those things, we don't really get that because we're not treating it as though it's coming from a person, and that person being the most integritous person there ever has been, and that being Jesus. So when I say, "God, I'm casting this care on you. Jesus, I cast the whole of this care on you." If we're saying that, just the cast, C-A-S-T, all your care, C-A-R-E-S, on Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, without it being Jesus said, my friend, my big brother, the one I love and adore, the one who loves and adores me, the one I've spent some time with. He speaks to me in my heart. And because he speaks to me in my heart, when he says something to me, I believe it. It's not just over and over again saying those words again. It's got to be attached to the Spirit of Jesus. It's got to mean something to me. Jesus said this to me. You know, my wife, she says something to me. I believe her. I mean, I really 100% totally believe her. Her words to me are spirit. They are life. How come? Because she means what she says. She says what she means. She does it. And so when she says something, I take that to the bank, man. I believe it. But as wonderful as my wife is, she's not Jesus. But if I could treat Jesus' word with the same magnitude that I treat her word, that's a good start. And she's limited. But what if we begin to say, no, Jesus said this. Jesus said this to me. Jesus spoke to me in my heart. Not in my mind, because that's not where he's going to communicate with me yet. In my heart. He spoke to me. I'm developing a relationship with him in my heart. Why am I doing this? Because Jesus said it. See, I need to hear Jesus say, you're healed. You are well. I've already taken care of that. And when we hear him, then we're confident on the inside. That being said, the reason I have a confidence in Kim's word, how come? Because we spend time together once a year? Yeah, we meet once a year. Yeah, you know, I come up from downstairs once a year. She lives upstairs. But we don't come together any other time. Or we meet every Christmas and every Easter. And quite possibly on New Year's Day. Maybe for birthdays. Y'all see what I'm getting at? Yeah, we want to be close to Jesus, but we don't want to spend time with him. We don't want to be talking to him at work and take a little time, get up every morning and speak to him and say hello and find out what he's got to say about my day. Talk to him throughout the day. No. We do a lot of binging, don't we? We do binge, man. How many of you ever binged on Netflix for hours? I have. Come on, appreciate you, brother. Amen. I mean, we got to get to the end, don't we? We got to get to the end. I mean, there's something at the end. And how many have been so disappointed when you got there? It was like, doggone. I took all this time to get there. And man, this is it. But what if we say, I want to get my heart to believe. We talked about it this morning in our foundations class. The Holy Spirit's job is to convince us. Number one, of sin. Number two, and most importantly for us right now, of righteousness. That we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. To convince us that Jesus loves us. But that doesn't happen unless we avail ourselves to him in the Spirit and begin to just listen, you know, daily. Just let him speak to us on a day-to-day basis. Let's look at some other things here. Let's go back. So Nicodemus, he tells Nicodemus that you must be what? You must be born again. Yeah, God wants to speak to us. God wants to commune with us, but he does it when we are born again first and foremost, and then he begins to a relationship with us. Let's look at another scripture here. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 28. It says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is a circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. It says the spirit, it says he is one inwardly, and talking about a Jewish person here, but we're going to say for us as well. He says that God is going to communicate with us by the spirit, not in the letter. Religion is by the letter. Like, I'm doing this out of the letter. I'm just doing this out of obligation, out of dutifulness. And maybe you're here today, not because of a relationship with Jesus that you have, but more so out of the letter of the law. Like, I'm here because, I feel convicted if I stay in this bed all day. So I better get up there and go to church and show the people my face for the week and so on and so forth. Well, there should be something that says, this is where I'm growing and developing at, and I want to be here. I want to hear the word of God. Maybe your experience is different from mine. I remember when I got born again, there's something that was drawing me to a place where I could hear about him. I could spend time. I wanted to know more. I just wanted to eat up and gravitate to and hear more word, because I knew that my heart needed it. It wasn't out of duty. It wasn't out of obligation. It was out of, there's another place for him to speak to me. Let's look at some other things here. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. And 14:14 says, it says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, this is not necessarily talking about, it's not necessarily where I wanted to, the same reference for the heart, but it is in that it shows a separation between our mind and our spirit. It says, if I pray in an unknown tongue or in a tongue, my spirit prays. That means that there's someone on the inside of me that's very real. So my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Is it possible that we use this far more than we use this? Is it possible that what really, really governs my life is my calculations, my reasonings, my ability to put two and two together and figure things out, as opposed to, I just believe God said this to me. I believe God. It don't make no sense to this right here, but I believe God wants me to do this. God wants me to step out in this. God wants me. Jesus is speaking to me. Is reason the sum total of our lives? Think about it for a minute. How do you make your decisions? Now, let's make sure that we make sure that we're not talking about emotions. Like, I make my decision, he or she looks good. And we say, that's my heart. And my heart's talking to me because, man, that's probably your emotions. And maybe you should use some reason. You should probably go and does he or she match these particulars? That'll get you in some trouble. But what about God's Jesus, his spirit spoke to me about a certain thing. Now, I heard Jesus say this on the inside of me, and it's backed up with his word. What about that? Everybody stand to your feet. This is far better than you all are looking. We're talking maybe even a strange language this morning when we talk about living out of our heart. Learning how to live from here. We make so many calculations out of just human reasoning. We determine whether or not we're going to do something based upon what our bank account looks like. Can you find your bank account in the Word of God? Does God speak to you from your bank account? I'm asking. Because I do believe the Bible says this, you cannot serve God and mammon or money. So he's saying if God is speaking something in your heart, but our calculations are made by our finances, then our finances will be king over our lives and not what he says on the inside of our hearts. I know I have. I've made decisions at times based upon what I could see. What such and such said. What calculation is. But I want to live from my heart. I want to make determinations based upon what I heard him say on the inside of me. Not through my reasoning anymore. I just want to step out. Step out in a direction not knowing anything but this, that other than God said so. God said so. God wants me to do this. I need to go here. Have a seat, please. And let me cover a couple more scriptures with you right quick. I want to discover my heart here. Look at another scripture here. Let's look. I'm going to go down a little first here. Let 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man, everybody say the inward man. The inward man is being renewed day by day. I want to know where that inward man is. That's the one that should be directing my steps. When I make a decision, I want to go check with the inward man first. I want to say, what do you have to say, inward man? Before I make any move, I want to check with the inward man first. Before I go in the direction, I want to be led by the inward man. There's another man living on the inside of us. And that's where faith is. And that's what we want to build up. Are y'all with me? I want to start living from the inside out. We want to start living from the inside out. We want to start believing from the inside. That means it's contrary to anything my mind may be telling me. I have to learn to divorce myself from my own stinking thinking. Divorce myself. In other words, I want to learn to do this. I heard someone say this one time. We ought to begin to talk to our feet first. When we get an unction from our heart, say, feet, go do that now. Go there now. Say that now. Go to that person now, because we're being led by Jesus on the inside of us. I don't want to rely on this anymore. Nothing wrong with thinking. Nothing wrong with calculating. Our minds immediately do it anyway. We can't really stop it. But I don't want it to be the sum total of all my reality is what I'm considering up here. I want to spend so much time with God, hearing what he has to say, that when he says something to me, no, I got you, boy. Go, go. I'm with you, go. We've been watching The Chosen. I would invite any of y'all to come out and listen, watch it with us, and get involved in the discussion. But one of the things that has stood out to me as they're journeying with Jesus is how Jesus challenges them over and over again to stop thinking from here. Stop thinking from right here. Stop making decisions based upon your own calculations. And unless you have put the stars up there, the moon, the oceans, how can you trust your thinking? We have so glorified our intellect that we have taken God and pushed him out. Man, Pastor. And then we get stuck in some mess and we wonder how we got here. Is because we just didn't listen to Jesus down in our hearts. Faith begins where the will of God is known. It's where Jesus is speaking to me on the inside, and I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm listening, Jesus. Forgive me. Forgive me for thinking that I knew it all, thinking I can make decisions based upon my calculations. Many years ago, before we built this church, I'll close with this part here, right here. Old George Logan was using his human reasoning, having a little bit of banking in my background and knowing a little bit about ratios and how we looked on paper. I figured, I know what we are, we should qualify for. Yeah, I know. And because of what I thought, I would go into places in my own, though I was touting faith up here, though I was humanly, with my intellect, trying to say that I was believing God. But the more upset I got with people who were not giving me what I wanted, was a revelation that I really wasn't believing God. I was getting madder and madder. Every banker I saw, I got madder and madder. Every time they told me no, I got madder and madder and madder. Then I began to get prejudiced. Like they're doing it because of this and they're doing it because of that. And all of that was me mentally ascending that I was believing God. And I believe that all of those opportunities was an opportunity where God was saying, would you stop thinking you know how this goes? Would you start trusting me from the heart? First thing he did for me is said, I need you. Down here he said, I need you to forgive everybody that you done said they were this and that. I had to go down. Yeah, that rascal. Okay. And that one over there. And I began to just forgive each one of them. And when I forgave all of them, all of a sudden, my heart got right. My heart started believing again. And then from that point on, I didn't care what the banker said. They could tell me no 1,000 times. I was happy. I'm like, hey, you go ahead. It was like womp, 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 because I stopped believing here and started believing my heart. See, you can tell where you are based upon how agitated you are with the outside. If you're agitated with the outside, that means you ain't got nothing going on the inside. But if you got something going on the inside, nothing on the outside will agitate you. And you begin to believe, okay, God, you got this, right? You got this. You, it's your church anyway, is what I told him. I said, this is your church. You want this church done, you do it. But I'm getting out of the middle. I'm getting out of thinking that I can reason myself in there looking like I was all that in a bag of chips, going into the office, talking the language, speaking the language, saying the right things, saying all those things that I thought they wanted to hear, and they would say no even though I did my best pitch. But when I got out of the way, I ain't care what they said no more. It didn't matter because I had something going on. I had a little fiddle going on the inside. I was dancing to a new tune on the inside. I was listening to his words on the inside. I was making my decision. I was telling them I had it because of what he said, not because of what they said. And then one day, somebody that I knew was in a place in Hickory, was at a little snack shop, saw the banker, the president of the bank and the shop that we were trying to, that denied me 3 or 4 times, and told him that you need to consider George Logan. How did that happen? How did that happen other than Jesus getting involved with it? Jesus got involved with it. Same person who would deny me 3 times said, hey, could you come back in? We want to see what we can do for you. I went back in there. Didn't care again what they were going to say because I knew God had this thing now. I was actually trusting God from the heart. And sure enough, they said, what can we do for you? Like to hear those kind of words, don't you? What can we do for you? And so they did. They granted us a loan for this home. Now, someone would say, well, why didn't you just ask God to pay off the whole building? Why didn't you believe him for the whole building? Well, I knew my faith. I knew my faith profile. I knew where my faith was. And at that time, I couldn't believe God for $1.4 million to build this facility at that point. I couldn't believe God for it, but I could sure enough believe him for a loan. Yeah. I'm trying to teach y'all something. Hey, had I had to wait to believe for the $1.4 million on my faith at that time, it would have been $3 million, $4 million before we ever got it. But believing him for $1.4 million and then paying it off in advance and saying poo-poo on you, because you thought we couldn't do it. Ha! But we could do it because we believe God for it. We believe God for it. God is glorified for it, not man, not George Logan. The Bible says that God knows the horse and the chariots, and he's not impressed with either one of them. He said, what impresses God is faith in the heart. Yes, yes. I said, yes, yes. Wouldn't you rather have faith in the heart? Wouldn't you rather have faith in the heart than try to do it on your own, scheming, trying to figure out, trying to pay somebody to do something for you, trying to get something done on the down low, you know? We ain't got to do that no more. Just believe God in the heart. Did you get something out of this? Y'all led me to this place right here. All right, God bless you. Let's pray, folks. All right. If you did get something, just give me, I need it. Give me an amen this morning. Give the word an amen. All right.
You've been listening to the Change Lives, Changing Lives radio broadcast, a ministry of New Day Christian Church. Please visit us at our website at www.newdaycc.com. Again, that's www.newdaycc.com. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please tell others. And if you ever get the opportunity, please come visit us at New Day Christian Church.